Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing since 1996. Your local coastal brewery, Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a football Friday. That's right, brought to you by our good friends at Pelican Brewing once again.
Welcome back, Pelican.
Tastes so good on a Friday. Now offering their newest signature Pelican West Coast IPA on a shelf near you. Raise your glass and drink on Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Let's go to the big game in college football this weekend that I know Oregon fans will have their eye on to see how it shakes out in the Big Ten standings. And Penn State is hosting Ohio State. Neil Rudel is joining us now, covering Penn State for a long time. Altoona Mir, Nitwits TV. At Neil Rudel on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Neil, good morning to you, man. What's the vibe and the feeling going into this game for Penn State, where they have lost so many of these, a lot of them by close margins for a long time, now feeling like maybe there's a bit of a vulnerable Ohio State team coming to town this weekend?
Yeah, I think that captures it. The clock is ticking on, James Franklin winning this game, winning a big game. He's really struggled. He's done a lot of things very well at Penn State. Most people know their last dozen-year history. I mean, they've been through a lot, but he just has not been able to beat Ohio State, certainly consistently. He has one win over them. It came on a blocked field goal that was returned for a touchdown. Having a seat at that table of a semi-equal partner to them in Michigan, he's 4-16 against those two teams. And those are the teams that he's kind of paid to beat. So it's a big game for him. But the fact that there's a 12-team playoff should benefit them. I mean, barring an upset later on, they probably are in the field of 12. So it's a little different that way than past years.
Neil, how did it land this week? He had a weird thing where the SID came out, he stood behind a screen, and then he came out, and a question was asked about players not on the team. He didn't say a word. He walked away. The SID came back out, and then he came out and pretended he hadn't been out there already. We talked about it. I thought it was a weird, bad look. Like, just say no comment yourself. I don't understand the SID part. How did that land for people this week?
Okay. Well, that was last week.
Last week. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right. Not well handled. He's the face of the program. There were two kids that were dismissed on a rape charge over the summer, and when the charges came out the next day is when that little mini scrum takes place on a Wednesday. When he was asked about it, he just deferred to the statement. The statement had already been read, but he stepped away from the microphone. The assistant SID came back out and read the statement again. It was very awkward, uncomfortable. James apologized then for his mishandling it after the Wisconsin game about 3 days later. But not a good look.
On the Franklin note here, not just with that, but the Ohio State stuff that you mentioned, where are Penn State fans on Franklin? Because we've always noted out here, just observing and watching them, they feel like they're stuck in this college football purgatory. Maybe the 12-team playoff will change this for them. But like, they've had their struggles with Michigan, Ohio State over the years, but they beat everybody else in that conference. They're kind of stuck in this weird tier by themselves. Where are fans at on Franklin?
Well, I mean, I don't think they're overly sold on him. You know, the former AD and president kind of rushed out and gave him a long extension right before both of them left. And this would take him through 31. And there didn't seem to be any, where was the fire? I think people felt like, and hey, let's face it, you know, the majority of the fan base certainly dates back to the Paterno era, where he was very modestly paid. And, you know, it's a different climate now in college football for sure. James is way different than Joe was. James is, you know, more of a player coach. He's, you know, chest bumping these kids after they score touchdowns. And, you know, I mean, like I said, he's done a lot of things well. He's beaten most of the teams he's supposed to beat, but he hasn't been competitive enough. And they've blown leads against Ohio State. If you look at their NFL roster, the number of guys that they're producing these last, they're recruiting great talent. They're developing. These guys go to the combine and do well, but it just doesn't seem like that's matched their performance. Their talent hasn't matched their performance in the biggest game.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Interesting. We're talking with Neil Rudel. He covers Penn State for the Altoona Mirror, Nitwits TV. One of the things I know is a big question mark going into this game is the quarterback position. Drew Aller, such a highly respected recruit coming in. He's had his moments. He's looked good at times. Struggled a little bit in the big games for them last year. He goes down. I don't know what the reporting has been this week. What do we know about that? And the backup who came in, I'll lean on you for the pronunciation there, but he played awesome in the second half. In a tough environment on the road, they outscore Wisconsin 21-3, I believe, in the second half of that game and pull away with a win. What do we know about the quarterback position tomorrow?
Well, there was an open window on Wednesday. Drew Aller did take part in most of the drills, at least that we saw. He was wearing long sweatpants, so you couldn't tell whether he had a brace on. My guess is he probably did. But he, you know, he did some of the ball security drills where they were rolling on mats. He did some light jogging and throwing. Questionable. Franklin's pretty coy about the injuries, especially with two different style of quarterbacks. Aller is the drop back passer, and Prabula, he did well. He's more of a runner. I don't know that they can win this game if Aller doesn't play. I mean, he's projected as an NFL draft pick, whether that would be this year or next. I think they're going to need him, and I would guess that he'd make every effort to give it a go if at all possible.
What's your observations from what you've seen from Ohio State? They have not, I don't think at any one point, I know they have some blowout wins on that schedule, but they've looked funky along the way. They lost out here against Oregon. They struggled to win last weekend against Nebraska. What is just your observation or thoughts on Ohio State this year?
Yeah, they've had some injuries. I agree. I watched last game with Nebraska. I don't want to say they were fortunate to win, but they had to come from behind at home to win that game. And it looked to me like, hey, I'm watching that game saying, hey, Penn State is can beat this team. Ohio State is showing they're beatable. They have some injuries on their offensive line. Now, hey, they got tremendous skill players and have for many years. That Oregon game was a terrific showcase. a couple weeks ago. And, you know, one of the threads of Penn State and Ohio State, just blown leads and not being able to cover Ohio State's great receivers or get to the quarterback well enough. Those will be keys tomorrow.
Interesting. Two-parter for you to get you out of here, Neil. Are fans bummed that this is an earlier kick time? I was hoping it was going to be a whiteout game, so I'm curious what the reaction has been to that. And then do they get it done? It feels like Ohio State's vulnerable. Do you think Penn State pulls it off tomorrow?
Well, you know, he's trying to limit all the distractions he can, and he was asked about the noon kickoff. They clearly wanted this game to be the whiteout at night, where they would have everything going for them in terms of atmosphere. But he doesn't want any excuses. He doesn't want any negativity, and he said that, hey, this is the greatest atmosphere to play a noon game against Ohio State in Happy Valley. So, you know, I think that, hey, the places, they'll probably set an attendance record tomorrow. And this is really the last time Ohio State's coming in here till 28 because of the new scheduling arrangements. So, you know, I got to see him. He's got to prove it. He's got to prove that they can beat them. I think they do have the talent, but the quarterback is the question. And I did pick Ohio State, but I see a real close game.
Wow, what a turn of the heel there.
I love that. That was set that up. Yeah, I'm sure fans are happy with you, but we tend to agree with you. One of those, we got to see it and see the outcome, and we'll be big believers. Can't wait till Oregon makes a trip out there. What an atmosphere. It should be tomorrow, despite it being a noon kick.
I'm stunned. I thought he was going to go full homer there and take Penn State.
That was great. Neil Rudel, he covers Penn State for a long time. Altoona Mirror, Nitwits TV, at Neil Rudel on Twitter. We'll give him a follow. Enjoy the atmosphere. Enjoy the game, and I'm sure we'll be catching up again here soon.
Hey, thanks. That was a good show, fellas.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.